But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiber. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Going to put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there. Hartman. Jackpot. Kansas City.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Playoff Football Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan. I am Joe Fisher. You can catch us on The Fan on the Odyssey app, YouTube, or Twitch for the kids. Across the foam marble table is Rashawn Taylor.
Who the hell broke the headphones?
Uh-oh.
Well, actually, they've always been kind of...
Yeah, I was going to say, they're kind of janky. Jordan Schultz behind the glass, as always.
What's up, guys?
What's up, bro?
Football. Lots of football today.
A whole bunch,
lots of football yesterday, lots of beer.
Yes.
Fun.
Yes, lots of football, lots of beer.
Can I say something, guys?
No, you are on this radio show to say nothing.
I'll sit here in silence.
It's no,
about
the
beer
tree.
Thing. I think I might be done drinking.
You're out on just drinking in general,
yeah.
Or beer?
I honestly, I haven't had a beer in like 8 months.
Don't worry, I took care of that for you yesterday.
I appreciate it, man. Like, that beer belly thing is a real thing. And apparently I'm not really supposed to, but, you know, had a few drinks last night, a couple of drinks with my wife, and was sitting there and was like, this just isn't fun for me anymore.
Boo.
Like, seriously, it's one of those things, like, I feel like, I don't know if maybe it's because I'm just old now, but I feel like I'm just tired more than, like, feeling good. Then that's not... It's the feeling you want to. You don't want to have a couple of drinks and be like,
yeah, you got
go,
like,
to go ready to knock out now.
North of 35, you got to add a vodka Red Bull in there at some point.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you do get a little sleepy.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think in general, I might be kind of over, you know, the drinking part. I don't know why.
I don't drink too much. You know, yesterday went out to one of the golf simulators and watched the Chargers game. One of my buddies is a Chargers fan, unfortunately.
That's sad. One of my buddies is too. Sorry, Rob.
Yeah, that sucked.
I had to tell him. I told him before that game got out of hand, I think it was somewhere in the first quarter, I was like, Tanner, why don't you just give up on your team like I did? And therefore, any sort of disappointment is not disappointing.
Well, because like a toxic relationship, we know you'll be back.
Yeah. So,
you know, like, it's just kind of one of those things. Sports relationships, I was kind of thinking about this the other day, and I'm scrolling through social, and somebody had a thing. They were a Cowboys fan as well. And I say were because they're saying that they're no longer a Cowboys fan.
Oh, they're a quitter, like Jason Swigert?
But, I mean, what other relationship do we have with anything that we would allow something to disappoint us that much and never get anything in return?
Well, this is kind of goes back to my question last week that I had for Schultzy. I was wondering who has the, out of all the fan personalities, who has the most depressing fandom? Like, out of all the teams that they root for. I don't know. I think I might take the cake on this. Cowboys, Blazers, Orioles, Ducks, my Pitt Panthers in college basketball.
I don't know, man.
My San Jose Sharks and
Brandon
hockey.
Sprague, you know.
That was the other one I was considering.
You know, I mean, Sprague.
But he's got the Braves.
Okay. He's
they
got
did
the
win
Braves.
A World Series
they,
recently.
They did, but there's, you know, there's been some ups and downs for the Braves, if, you know, we being real, you know. They were on the Superstation forever, so everybody got a chance to watch a lot of Braves games for, you know, for a lot of time. But,
right.
But it's just, I don't know. I'm thinking the 49ers had a lot of steam in the early 90s, you know, late 80s and stuff like that, and haven't had any of that since. And then you throw in the fact that he's an Oregon State guy, Oregon State grad. Like, we know what Oregon State's run of luck has been over the last, what, 30 years or
hey,
so?
They're $25 million richer, though.
I mean, that's definitely, you know, nice. But, yeah, I would probably have to say Oregon State. I would say you, but I don't know, man.
I haven't seen a championship for any of my teams since the 90s, and I don't even remember those. I mean, when the Cowboys won their last one, I was 4 years old. That doesn't even count.
Blazers won. We weren't even born.
Yeah, exactly. Just a twinkle in our parents' eyes.
Yeah, Skip Bayless was still making up stuff about Troy Aikman back then.
Still trying to pay hairdressers.
Oh, I was really trying to get him out the building.
Well, that happened yesterday. Here, allegedly.
But you know what? We took care of the beer drinking for you yesterday.
I appreciate it. I think you guys are going to need to take over for me.
Bring the beers.
I'll bring the beers. My wife and I do.
I'll bring the beers.
Family Guy quote, if you don't know what we're talking about.
No, that's Mr. Deeds.
Mrs. Deeds.
But then also a Family Guy. Yeah. Like, Peter Griffin, like, he homogenizes it. He makes it, like, a really nostalgic thing, and he's, I'll bring the beers, and he says it in a much more Rhode Island-esque. Yeah, it's funny.
But it wasn't the beers that got me knocked out and wanting to call it a night. I like spicy food. You know,
yeah.
Not giving that up though, folks.
God, this is like the segment of the old dads on Sunday. I
can't do anymore.
I like my spicy food. And was it the last couple times that I've gotten Thai? It hasn't been there. It hasn't slapped. It hasn't given me that punch that I've been looking for.
Does the Thai place that you go to offer different levels? Like, we get a mild, medium, and like hot option for our pad Thai.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, like, I don't have like a set Thai place. I really didn't start eating Thai food until I met my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Good for her.
And so, like, the last place I went to was a food truck, and right. Got some pad Khi Mao, and I was
one
like,
of my
all
favorites,
right. I was like, all right, let's see. Let's see what they got. Wasn't that spicy? A couple months ago, I think we ordered some farmhouse. You know, pretty solid spot. Isn't Thai food, but you know they can add some spice to their stuff. And again, you know, was lacking that spice. So last night we DoorDash. I'm forgetting the place. And on DoorDash, you know, it asks what protein you want, and it asks the spice level. And I was gonna go medium, and I was like, you know what? Let's give it a test. Let's bump this up to hot.
Bam!
Oh,
kicked
yeah,
up a notch.
Your boy got rocked, and I was thankful. It was a grateful experience. It was like, you know what? This is what I've been wanting.
Humbling.
Yes, humbling, but also very enjoyable. It was one of those where I was like, this is what I've been wanting for a while. Is one of those just hot food, spicy food experiences. Where it's got me, where I'm chugging whole milk out of the carton kind of experience.
Sweating hard.
Yes. And then...
Rowan's asking, you're okay? You're like, I'm good. Good.
Just, yes.
Running down your face.
Multiple times that happened, yeah.
Good, no.
And also, like, because everybody it was still like sort of... Because it was still hot, when I would take a bite, I would, like, inhale because of the heat. And then the, like, fumes of the pepper would go into my throat, and then I would just be like,
it's just, so tasty.
Yeah.
No, it's all good. So good.
And I didn't know if it was like the heat, like the temperature of the noodles, because I got drunk at noodles. I don't know if it was the heat of the noodles itself or if it was just the peppers, but man, I got.
I had an experience similar to that just a few weeks ago. Wife and I ordered some Thai food, which she doesn't love Thai food, but I guess work and everything like that, she's been having it more and more. And so, again, ordered same thing, Pad Khi Mao, and got that joint and start eating and was like, oh my God. And now I'm trying to show that it's not really a big deal to my wife, but again, now I'm just sweating. And stomach is burning, you know, but they were great. Luckily, it was still delicious, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm able to give up hot food. I still love too many things that are spicy to just kind of punt on hot food right now.
Can we clear up the
one thing at a time?
Oh, yeah. And see, this is definitely like an older guy thing, because I remember growing up, my dad, like, you know, we would get him like hot, like a collection of hot sauces for his birthday or Christmas or something like that. And he always really liked spicy foods. And I'd be like, you are an animal. All right. You are going to die of a heart attack because of too much spice. And now that I'm older, over my 30s, I'm like, you know what? Give me that whole bag of Tim's Cascade jalapeno chips.
Is there a food that you once absolutely loved, never gave any second thought to how much you loved it, but now that you're older, you're like, I don't really want that anymore. That's not good to me.
Yeah, Vienna sausages. I'm serious. When I was like,
when
six
did
or
you
seven,
like those?
Like 7 years old,
like in the bottle.
Yeah, in
like
the can,
in the little can, in the
liquid.
Yeah, I'll do sardines all day. I've never seen them in a bottle, but
They're in the bottle too. You know, more expensive, but yeah,
I got them out of
Vienna
the can.
Sausage.
Those are awful. They're ass. They're what's
they're
that?
So,
I can't
once
say
they
it
hit
on the
your
air.
Lips, it's like it just turns into like this.
Oh my god!
What's
that
paste?
What's that old joke from Great Outdoors? I can't say it on the air fully, but like, what are hot dogs made out of? Lips and hmms, and that's kind of like what you would imagine. That's Vienna sausage.
Well, here's the cool
and
part.
I
bro.
Don't know why I ever ate those.
With that, I'm still a spam guy.
See,
I love spam.
See, you know? Spam masubi, though. Like spam,
but, I just had that like 3
bomb,
days
right?
ago.
Yeah, so I'm a spam guy, but. Man, and this is, I don't know if this sounds kind of sacrilegious, but I don't like ribs anymore.
What?
Get out.
Yeah, man, I know, right?
I got some teriyaki marinating ribs.
This will be the final show of Rashad Taylor.
Man, in my fridge right now.
Listen, as a black man, man,
What the hell's the matter with you?
As I've always loved my ribs, man.
We
as
ate some good
man,
food
I've
at your
always,
wedding, man. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, man, listen.
One of my favorite foods is ribs. Top three.
So, okay.
Since I was a kid.
So about a year ago, I made some ribs, and they were good. Tender, all the whole nine and everything like that. And I had them, I was like, it made my stomach hurt. I was like, man, this is weird. Like, maybe they weren't done all the way, something like that. Maybe. I go to a ribs place, and I'm not going to say the name because I think the rest of their food is phenomenal. And I think the ribs had always been good. And I got some, and I was like, yeah, I took like one. I was like, yeah, this wasn't as good. Maybe another one. That's not as good. And it felt weird and felt like it just held my body down. I was like, yeah, this is strange. I decided the other day, man, we're going to go get some barbecue and everything. Got the barbecue, got some ribs, and was like, yeah, I don't think I like these anymore.
Oh, my God.
I don't think I like it. They were too greasy, too everything. I was like, yeah, this. I don't need this meat, boss.
You're pathetic.
I don't need this. Yeah, it's one of those things. So I think I'm out on ribs.
You got to come
ribs
over
and alcohol.
House,
I think I'm out.
Yeah, no, I will. The alcohol,
two
I can understand.
Two of the greatest
things
in
ever
the culinary
in
world.
In men's world, like,
no,
you know.
You got to let me smoke you some ribs.
Ribs and beer.
Exactly.
No, thank you.
Don't want to do that anymore for whatever reason. Over it.
Dear
over
God,
it.
Man.
Rashad's trading that in for LaCroix. And salad. Let's go.
I can never fully drink a LaCroix and feel good about it. Like when I'm at my 9 to 5, and shout out to my team, like that's the one drink that everybody just enjoys. And I'm like, why do we want scented water? It doesn't taste like anything. And it's just like, no, I don't want this.
Yeah. No.
I'm sneaking like Kool-Aid packets inside of the LaCroix. So just
there you go.
That's actually
pretty good. Yeah.
Crystal
Light or something.
You ready to get to some football stuff?
I don't know. Where to start, man?
Yeah, I mean, we have NFL playoffs. We've got college football playoffs. Actually, I thought that now that we are officially in the playoffs at some point today, we go over our preseason NFL predictions that we put down.
Yeah.
See what we are right on, see what we miss, see if our AFC, NFC championship games are still alive, Super Bowl prediction is still alive.
Everybody had the Vikings winning their division, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
14 man, win, fifth seed, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely on here. somehow got deleted, I don't know, but they were on here at some point. But, yeah, we got a college football playoff championship game is set. You have a new head coach.
Ugh, Jesus. Just hire me.
No, you should have done that last
Just
year.
Just hire me.
But I say first because
biggest
it is
blunder in the world.
It is freshest in our minds as we go to the NFL playoffs. We had two games last night. One went as expected. One did not. And all I have to say is, Justin, no. Why, Justin? Damn it.
Damn you.
Yeah, we'll get to both of the games next here on Football Sunday on 1080 The Fan. Well, Justin Herbert and the if he had weapons, if he this, if he that, will still live on because him, the Chargers, Jim Harbaugh, in a game that everybody felt like they were expected to win. I mean, I was saying weeks ago, well, if you want to go anywhere to start your playoff run, you want to go to Houston. I mean, we've seen what the Texans look like lately. My God. And he goes and throws more interceptions in one game than he had all season long. Now, granted, I will give one of those to Will Disley, who had two drops in the game
crazy
yesterday.
Drops. We're whooping his ass in the locker room when we get back in there. For real. Like, one of those drops could have been a touchdown. So
yes, yeah.
It would have affected the final score, but yeah.
For sure.
I mean, everything that could go wrong did go wrong. I mean, even at the start of the game, they have their two first offensive possessions. You're settling for field goals. I even said to my buddy Tanner, who, you know, we were watching the game with, I was like, you got to turn those field goals into touchdowns. You can't be leaving 8 points off the board against the team in the playoffs. I was like, I know it's the Texans, but really the unit that stood out in this game, I mean, it was the Texans defense. Just flustering Justin Herbert. I mean, Justin Herbert, what was his final passing time? 14 for 32?
Justin Herbert was... Yes, yep. 14
you
for 32.
It. 1-4.
One.
Unreal.
Sacked four times.
To have him play that poorly, I mean, it was just a few weeks ago that I was in this chair, in this studio, saying Justin Herbert, top five quarterback in the league, and you made him look pedestrian at best.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in total shock with how that game went.
I would have never thought that, you know, a Jim Harbaugh-led team would go into the playoffs and really lay an egg like that. Like, that was hard to watch. Like, and after the first quarter, you're like, okay, like, here's the chart. They haven't put a touchdown up, but two field goals, you're up six at the end of the first quarter. Like, okay, things are moving the right direction. And then all of a sudden, C.J. Stroud and company just kind of start laying it on them. But it was really, like you said, that defense just – they were everywhere, and they were, you know, getting their hands on field goals. They were, you know, kind of tipping down passes. Like, they were doing a little bit of everything, and they were putting a lot of pressure on that offensive line and on Justin Herbert. And that's really why, like, Herbert usually has a lot of time to get rid of the ball. That wasn't the case yesterday. He had to get rid of things really, really quick, and they made him uncomfortable the entire game. And on the other end, C.J. Stroud didn't seem uncomfortable, you know, at all. He had the one mistake in there with the interception, but outside of that, you know, he was able to kind of at least keep his team on the field. And then you got a beast in Joe Mixon, who they just – it seemed like he was just falling forward. Like, it wasn't – he couldn't stay on his feet, and he was just kind of and just fall forward. Oh, here's 6 yards. Oh, here's a first down. Whenever you got a guy like that, you can just give him the rock and say, go do work for us.
Well,
that's what he was able to do, and especially in that second half of the game, like, it was all Joe Mixon.
Well, and what really changed the trajectory and the feeling of this game was right before halftime, and I was saying it again to my buddy, I was like, you know how I'm getting older is that the field position battle gets me all worked up and gets me excited. I'm like, oh, yeah, what a punt. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to flip the field here. Oh, yeah, you got to pin him deep.
You go for it right here. Yeah. You give him a chance right here. Yeah, that's the type of stuff you do now.
And as soon as the Chargers, they punt, they put the Texans at the 1 yard line with, gosh, I don't know, a few minutes left in the first half. And I'm like, all right, well, Texans, they haven't done anything on offense. And now they got to go 99 yards. I'm like, this is, you know, you got to be feeling good at the Chargers. What did the Texans do? They go 99 yards, and they get a touchdown on the board to go up 7-6. And that's the other thing is it's just like the first half, you were able to shut them down, and that's why I was like, you need to be turning these field goals into touchdowns. You can't be leaving the points off the board. And before you know it, it's like, well, now Texans lead. And then you go 3-and-out very quickly and give the Texans a chance to put up 3 more points before halftime. So now you're looking at 10-6 at halftime, and your offense – while it's been able to move the ball, hasn't been able to convert and put up touchdowns and get in the end zone. And then it was just, and then in that second half, I mean, this is the drive chart for the Chargers in the second half. Downs, punt, interception for a touchdown, interception, touchdown, interception.
Which that touchdown, by the way, turned into a 2-point conversion on the defensive side because of the blocked extra points.
When's the last time you've seen one of those?
It's been a minute.
God, it's been like 10, 20 years.
But again,
can you bet on those? Because those odds would have been astronomical. Dang it.
Well, it's like even when they start to get a little bit sign of life, a little bit of momentum, big Ladd McConkey touchdown, who set the playoff rookie record for receiving yards yesterday, 197, by the way. Yeah, it's just like, all right, we get this extra point, we cut this to 10, then we can get a stop, score a touchdown, get a stop, field goal, tie this game, send it over. No, blocked field or blocked extra point, which Cameron Dicker, I don't know what he was doing, trying to knock the ball down as if it was a Hail Mary or something.
Yeah, like, bro, that's not how that works.
He literally knocked it down right into a Texans player's hand, who then housed it for the two points.
Yeah. He panicked and didn't know the rules.
He's a millionaire, but he still panicked. You know, you're supposed to not panic. You're supposed to be paid so well that your life is kind of precluded around making sure that you are in the zone in these moments. But yeah, he panicked. It's fine.
And this was Herbert's first playoff game. Correct or
no,
second?
Second. Okay. The second one was the Jaguars comeback.
Oh,
a few
that's
years
right.
Ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think they were just D'Amico Ryans and they were ready. You know, they knew what they wanted to do and they pretty much did it. And really, it could have still been a game in the fourth quarter. Like if a couple things had to work out in the Chargers' favor, but getting that touchdown on the board, I think was going to do a lot for their confidence. And then the very next play, that blocked field goal came and completely changed the momentum for the Texans. And that's really when, at that point, it was like, okay, this game's over. And there were still, like, what, 10 minutes something to play, but you were kind of like, yeah, I don't think this is going to happen at this point.
It was a game going into the fourth quarter or before, I guess, the seconds expiring into that the end of the third quarter with that pick six happening. And what was that? Two interception drives in a row, as you pointed out, Joe, for the Chargers. Like, they just had a chance, and then it was almost kind of like the Ducks. Like, 5 minutes later against Ohio State, they didn't have a chance. And it's like, it's like Houston came in and was just like, you know what? I think I'm going to let Justin Herbert and Ladd McConkey beat us. Because you look at the box score, McConkey had almost 200 yards of Herbert's, 230-40 passing yards on the receiving end. So essentially, as we've said all season long, the Chargers have no weapons other than Ladd McConkey.
All but 45 yards went to, you know, Ladd McConkey.
And Justin Herbert, you know, even with a little bit more pressure than he was used to all season, the Chargers have been really good on the offensive line at protecting him. He's taken almost no hurries or just one or two most of the time. He was still able to get the ball out, but they said, you know what, beat us this way because you're not going to beat us in any other way. And they were successful at it.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the receiving core for the Chargers. Ladd McConkey, 9 receptions, 197 and a touchdown. The next best stat line for the Chargers.
It's disgusting.
Will Dissly, 2 catches for 16 yards. He had just as many drops as he had catches. Mm-hmm. Tucker Fisk for 1 catch, 15 yards. Quentin Johnson, where the hell were you, bud? I mean,
that's
and that's
a question.
And, you know, I wonder why the box, the depth, or wow, Ken Speaks, box score. I mean, Quentin Johnson did have a catch, but it was for like a yard. And maybe it was someone else who got it, but I could have sworn on that fourth down play that the Chargers tried to go to Quentin Johnson, where they finished, came up a few yards short on that. But
the stat sheet I'm looking at says Quentin Johnson had 5 targets, 0 catches.
Oh, my God. I mean, so, yeah, a lot of drops. I do remember a couple of times Quentin looking like
unless that was a drop and they actually didn't count it as a catch, but, I mean, like, they went for it on that fourth down in the second half and weren't able to get it. And I could have sworn that was a pass to Quentin Johnson. But, they reviewed it and they said that it wasn't incomplete. So there you go. So Quentin Johnson did have 0 catches in that game.
At what point do you start planning your vacation if you're on the team that's clearly losing in the fourth quarter? There's 7 minutes left.
You look up to the stands and you see your agent or your wife and you're like,
yeah, make the
give the phone give motion. Stop calling.
Make the
start making the
guess
arrangements.
What? We even got to go back to San Diego. We'll stay or to me to L.A. Forgive me. We even got to go back to L.A. We can stay right here and we can leave from
Houston. Galveston.
Yeah, we can go to Galveston for for the
that
break.
Dirty ass water.
Yeah, gross. You don't want to go to Galveston for anything.
So the Texans advance. Who they will face, we will find out later today. But the other game I mean, that went about as expected. The Ravens, Steelers, the Steelers, the last 5 weeks now
have been
doo-doo.
Cheeks.
Yes. The last 5 weeks have not put up more than 17 points total, I believe. TJ Watt held without a stat also defensively. The Ravens run for 299 yards on the ground. The Steelers eliminated a 9 out of that. 29 yards on the ground for the Steelers.
I mean, Derrick Henry was just otherworldly.
Yeah, this Ravens team is getting hot at the right time.
They're scary.
Yes, very scary. Very scary.
It was like 7 yards up the middle every time Derrick Henry touched the ball. And they didn't run him around the end until like the fourth quarter. It was just dominance.
When they had that fool in the Wildcat, I was like, oh no. Oh no, they're in trouble. That means he doesn't get a direct snap and can do whatever he wants after that. Like, get out of here.
Yeah,
that's a problem.
26 carries for 186 for Derrick Henry yesterday. I mean, they were up 21-0. The Steelers, they tried to make it interesting, but it just never felt like they were going to come back in this game at all.
The best part is Steeler fans watching them freak out on social, watching the whole, I don't know why I watch this game. I don't know why I do this to myself.
So we are literally,
that's pretty fun.
We're literally seeing the argument again. It's like, well, are the Steelers going to move on from Mike Tomlin? Why? What are you smoking?
I think
you
can all agree that Mike Tomlin's not the issue.
Six straight playoff losses under Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin, though,
35 straight winning seasons.
How many
under Mike Tomlin?
How many of those have since Ben Roethlisberger retired?
I'm gonna say, well, it might include those because I remember the Steelers that one year they started off like 13-0 or 14. I think it was 13-0. Lost the last three games and then they lost their first game in the playoffs. So I mean, these six straight playoff losses for the Steelers, it very well could include.
It did include one of them with Roethlisberger
because they lost to the Browns in that one playoff game with Baker Mayfield. Which I think, again, that was Roethlisberger was playing in that game. So, I don't know. There comes a point where, as Steelers fan, like, you are Sixburg. You have the most Super Bowls championships in NFL history. Well, not championships, because if you include those, actually, then the Green Bay Packers. But six Super Bowls. I mean, at what point does... Oh, we've had a bunch of winning seasons in a row and no playoff success to show for it in the last however many years. At what point does that narrative, like, you don't get a Lombardi trophy for the most winning seasons in a row for being good?
I think there's a lot that goes into that, though, without having a guy like a consistent trigger man like Ben Roethlisberger, you know, who you have for a long time. But let's be real, Big Ben's last 4 or 5 seasons
weren't that great.
Weren't awesome. He had one in between there. It was like, okay, maybe Ben's back. But outside of that, the last few seasons of Ben Roethlisberger wasn't great. And then after that, you had the
Kenny Pickett,
era. And what was the other one? Who was the other quarterback that they had that was
also equally
as terrible?
Mason Rudolph.
Like, it was you know, monuments of nothingness, you know, that you had as far as the quarterback position, you know, there. So now you got Russ, and Russ wasn't great this year, but he didn't make a lot of mistakes as far as throwing interceptions or anything like that. I just don't think they had the horses that you would expect for a winning team like the Steelers. So I think there's a lot that went into it. I think having mature Russell Wilson there, maybe a little maybe a little delusional in what he can do now. Like, there was a point last night in the game where one of the announcers was like, he's trying to be old Russell Wilson. And I think old Russell Wilson is gone. You know, we're not going to see that guy anymore. But if you need a guy that can get you a quick 2 or 3 yards on a scramble or something like that, I think that might be right around where he is. But trying to expect him to go on third and long and scramble for 7, 9, 12 yards, whatever the case is, I don't think he's that guy anymore. But then you can't put in... You gonna put Fields in?
No,
right? And I think that's the rub to it. It's like, yeah, Russ wasn't playing great, but you're gonna put in Justin Fields. He's gonna win you some games.
I am so frustrated in the world of sports how fans and GMs and coaches sometimes get shiny new thing syndrome. You got to look at the history of this team, right? You talk about their Super Bowl wins. They have had three coaches since 1969. And I guarantee you, if and when they move on from Mike Tomlin, that will start the cavalcade of coaches being, you know, oh, two-year guys, a tenure for a season and a half before you're forced to do an in-season firing for the first time, I'm sure, ever in Steelers football history. Like, you be careful what you wish for, because you just might get it. And I'm telling you, a post-Mike Tomlin world for the Steelers is not good. The dude is still in his early 50s. He's got 15 years left in the league to be a head coach. I guarantee you, if he's gone from Pittsburgh, someone will snatch him up like that. It is the stupidest consideration ever that he even puts them in the position to get to the playoffs in the first place, and then they're like, ah, it's his fault that they're not winning it. No, it's freaking not. The NFL's hard, and if you're telling me that there's a guy somewhere in the league that's going to take the crap that they've had on the offensive side of the ball in Pittsburgh and make it into something better than Tomlin has, show him to me. Please, tell me.
Well, we don't know that. I mean, there very well could be. And I wonder how long you – I mean, six straight playoff losses. I mean, that is the Steelers who have seen – was it 2005? You saw 2008. That was the second year of Mike Tomlin, which a lot of people – I mean, they've gone back and said, like, all right, well, he won that with Cowers guys.
Oh, God, yeah. It's like the new president taking over for the old one.
Well, jeez. I mean, Mark Helfrich took a team to a national championship, right?
That was literally the next year. This was 2 years later with Mike Tomlin. He did establish some kind of culture there.
But I think what happened is I think Howard established a culture that Tomlin was like, okay, this works. He did. At any time, Bill Cowher never had the very best of anything at any position. Like, the bus was a great running back, but I don't think anybody ever considered Jerome Bettis the best running back in the league. Roethlisberger was a good quarterback, but I don't think anybody at any point ever considered him the best. Hines Ward was still not in the Hall of Fame. Nobody's ever considered Hines Ward, you know, the best at anything, but he had really good pieces offensively and defensively that you were able to go out there and win a game with. You look at this Pittsburgh team, and they haven't had those pieces since Antonio Brown left.
You know who Mike Tomlin is?
Huh?
Look at this. You see this picture right here, Rashad?
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Mike Tomlin is the Doc Rivers of the NFL.
Because guess what? They're still talking about who exactly is a Hall of Famer from that Pittsburgh team that won a championship. And Doc Rivers has had nothing but Hall of Famers at every stop. He had Grant Hill and Tracy McGrady at one point. And then he turned around and had
T.J. Watt's a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
Cameron Hayward's a Hall of Famer.
That's one. They're on the team. Like, there's a couple on the team. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, it's one of those things. Doc Rivers, everywhere he went, had championship all-time players, no matter what team he was coaching for, every single time.
Yeah, I wonder how much longer the Steelers are going to be happy with, hey, we were good enough to make the playoffs, but then we flamed out in the playoffs yet again.
I mean, I think as long as they just keep making the playoffs, I think that's the only thing that matters, you know, at this point. As long as they keep having 8-8s or, you know, 9-8 seasons or whatever, I think Pittsburgh is always going to be, and Tomlin's always going to be, in everybody's good graces, because where are you, like Jordan's saying, like, who's another coach you can hire like right now that's going to be as good as Mike Tomlin? Show me. Like, I don't know if he's out there.
They can have Mike McCarthy.
Oh. Hey, man, I mean, Gerard Mayo's available.
Ben Johnson, who's probably the top candidate, the Detroit Lions offensive coordinator.
Why hasn't Byron Leftwich been hired yet?
Well, there you go. He's not going to take the job in Pittsburgh. He's going to take, you know, like a Chicago gig or somewhere where they've got a stud quarterback. So unless Pittsburgh all of a sudden gets the top overall pick, you're not getting the hot coaching candidate. Yes, you've got a great organization, but it's not going to get you the top young guy or whoever, you know, fans are going to want.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're up against it. Talk about some of these other playoff games today. But also wanted to take a look at our preseason NFL predictions and see what's still alive, what we got terribly wrong, and see again if our AFC, NFC championship games and Super Bowl prediction can still happen. We get to that next here, Football Sunday. But first, Schultzy with SportsCenter update. Last little note on Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I remember when Andy Reid made the NFC championship game six times in a row, and the Eagles fired him.
He didn't win.
Look at him now.
He didn't win. Like, I mean, at that point, yeah, look at him now. Like, he's got all the right toys to be able to play with over there. But
just saying, sometimes you got to make hard decisions as a franchise.
Yeah, but I mean, I think the thing
just
about
being
Andy
good
Reed,
ain't good enough.
Andy Reid hadn't won. Mike Tomlin's won and then been there again, and you know, didn't win, but he's been there twice. He's won one. He continues to
was it
to 16, win.
15, 16 years ago? He won.
Yeah, but he continues to get to the playoffs.
You know, Mike McCarthy won also.
Not like that.
Why not? Like that. What are you talking about?
Not like that. I mean, Mike McCarthy won, but then after that,
Super Bowl winning head coach.
He went to a team that just could not win. After he won the Super Bowl, I don't think they could consistently make the playoffs after that.
Hey, Mike Tomlin, Mike McCarthy. Super Bowl winning head coaches.
One is consistently in the playoffs, and the other one is Mike McCarthy.
Mike McCarthy, 3 straight 12-win seasons with the Cowboys before this year.
Was he in the playoffs this year?
No, but...
Because pretty much every year, Mike Tomlin is there.
Well, not every year.
And all you can do is get there. Like, I mean, we're about to talk about what our predictions were for winning the Super Bowl and winning all these things. And the truth is, only, what, 8 teams can make it to the playoffs? Is it 8?
Seven in each conference?
Yeah, 7 in each conference. So, you know, 14 teams of the 32 are making it to the playoffs. Like, that's all you got. All you can do is get there. And once you get there, we'll see. You know what I mean? I think that's the big thing. And Mike McCarthy wasn't getting there, you know, all the time when he was in Green Bay, you know. And that, I think that was the big thing. That's the big difference between the two of them. Mike McCarthy is a great, I think, if anything, he's a great assistant.
Here's your cookie for having good seasons, Mike Tomlin. Our NFL preseason predictions. Let's get into this. NFC South, looking at this right now. Rashad, the only one to take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Woo, because I know my age.
I like how you just groan right before I say it. Like right after I say your name, you're like, oh, God, what did I do? And
hated,
then
you know,
I say you're right, and you're like, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's what I do, baby.
That's what I do. No, I mean, because if it was going to be anything like our, you know, who do you love picks, then I'm like, oh, no. But I had faith in, you know, Baker Mayfield's my guy. Have faith in him.
Yeah, Schultz and I both went with the Falcons, which was looking good for a bit until it wasn't, until Kirk Cousins decided that he wanted to stop playing quarterback.
Well, I didn't really realize that his Achilles would just unearth unbelievable inconsistencies in his game, and he just can't throw the ball downfield anymore. Yeah,
I mean, he is old.
But he literally can't throw the ball downfield.
For the NFC North, we all went chalk, and we were all correct. Now, it did take literally the last game of the year. But we all took the Lions to win the NFC North.
I mean, nobody thought that there would be two like 12-plus win teams out of that division. Are you kidding me?
Well,
they took care of them.
We might have thought it would have been them and the Packers that could have been a 12-win team, but not the Vikings.
Not the Vikings.
As far as NFC East goes, I was the only one to go against my Cowboys. You guys both took the Cowboys to win the division.
Easy pick the last few years.
And because Mike McCarthy's a Super Bowl winning head coach and consistently getting 12 win seasons out of there. So, I mean, don't fire him. Don't let him go, right?
Oh, no. Let him go.
Keep him for 15, 16, 17 years.
You know what Mike
Tomlin
can do with the Dak Prescott?
I took the Eagles. This was I finally came to a realization that I can't just blindly support my team because when you disappoint in the playoffs so many years, then you know you have to move on.
That Saquon Barkley was a great pickup for this Eagles team.
Not bad, not bad. We were all wrong on the NFC West, though. We all took 49ers. I think it was one of those we need to see.
That
it
was
to
a no-brainer.
Yeah,
that was a no-brainer
like,
for all of us.
It's like, all right, well, why wouldn't we think the 49ers are going to win the division this year? But they did not. It was the LA Rams, which Jordan and I get half credit for because we said that the Rams would make the playoffs as a wild card team.
There we go.
But they made it as the division winner, actually.
The weird division.
Yes, yes. We all took the Packers getting into the playoffs as a wild card team. So we are correct there.
Okay.
Jordan gets a half a point for selecting the Eagles as a wild card team, as do you, Rashad, get half a point. But you had the Falcons as a wild card team, which they were not. And I would say you had the Falcons as a wild card team. Yes. But I would say that this is the worst of my NFC picks, the Bears being a wild
card team. Bears.
Yeah.
Didn't I pick them too?
No, no Bears. Wow. No Bears.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. So you and I got two of the four division winners right. Schultzy got one of the division winners right, but he did get Eagles, Rams, Packers, at least all making the playoffs there. So in the AFC South, you guys were the only ones to take the Texans, and I took the Jacksonville Jaguars to win the division. To be fair to myself, though.
Jacksonville.
You guys both had them winning a wild card. So we were all wrong in a sense of thinking that the Jaguars would actually be good this year.
Yeah.
I just thought they would be really good to win the division.
I thought this was Trevor Lawrence's year. This was, you know, this is what, year four? Like, this is the one that he takes the big step, and just wasn't the case.
Well, now they need a new head coach. We all took the Ravens to win the division, which was correct. Each one of us took a different division winner for the AFC East. I took the Dolphins. Rashad, you took the Jets, and Schultzy took the Bills.
I will never, never take the Jets anywhere, ever again in life.
Probably a good decision.
That was the dumbest decision. I said that?
Yes, I have it right here.
God, I was probably smoking or something before.
Not surprised. And we all took Chiefs as well for the AFC West. But Schultzy, all four division winners correct in the AFC.
Dang.
Now, all three wildcard teams incorrect, Schultzy.
There we go.
You took Bengals, Jags, Dolphins. Rashad, you took Dolphins, Jags, Chargers.
Okay, one of the...
Which I took the Chargers as well. The Bills were one of my wildcard teams, so half point there. And then my last wildcard team was the Bengals. No one taking the Broncos. The Broncos were basically like the Vikings of the AFC this year, mm-hmm. where I think they were projected to win like four or five games this year and ended up making a playoff run. Also, none of us having the Commanders in the playoffs either. Another team
I don't think anybody saw, none of us saw them even being good.
I think there was a chance for them to be, you know, competitive, but to be a playoff team and to play as good as they did this year. Yeah, I don't think that was going to be the case. But all of our AFC, NFC championship games and Super Bowl matchups are still alive, except for Rashad's NFC championship. He had Lions over the 49ers. So you could still get the game winner right, but the game, the matchup will not be correct. We all took Ravens Chiefs in the AFC championship game. So Buffalo has a chance to ruin that for all of us. I have Ravens over Chiefs. Rashad has Ravens over Chiefs. Jordan has Chiefs over Ravens for the AFC championship.
Yeah,
game.
I think it's just going
to
be.
I don't know, man. On a neutral ground, I just don't see that defense being able to stop Derrick Henry or Lamar Jackson. They're going to have to pick their poison. You know, and yeah. I think that's kind of one of those things. Like,
They stopped it last year, but that was a different Ravens team because, as you mentioned, they did not have Derrick Henry that time.
No, not at all. But what was the most surprising team of all the new teams that made the playoffs for you guys this year?
I mean, it's going to be probably the Vikings. Either the Vikings or the Broncos, I would say. Those two.
Jordan?
And Commanders. I'd have to throw Jaden Daniels and the Commanders in there. I mean, Dan Quinn coming in, new offensive coordinator with Cliff Kingsbury trying to like actually establish something after Eric Bieniemy left. Like, surprised.
Well, yeah. This is why I lean probably towards the Broncos because, you know, Jaden Daniels being a number two overall pick.
It's expected for him to be kind of okay.
Yeah. Whereas Bo Nix, okay. I mean, the jury was out on Bo Nix.
A
lot of people didn't, you know, check down artists. The jury was still out on Sean Payton in the second iteration of his head coaching run. So, I mean, they were one of the lowest projected win totals this year. Right in the AFC, just above the Patriots. I mean, it was like 4.5, 5.5 wins projected for the Broncos this year. I don't think anybody saw. Bo Nix, he finished fifth, I believe, in touchdown passes this year.
Bo Nix had 29 touchdowns and 12 picks.
I mean,
in his rookie year, like I only do that on Madden. Like, how many rookies come out their rookie year, with exception of Jaden Daniels, and just light the world on fire? And again, nobody expected the Broncos. They were a dumpster fire for a little bit. You know, couldn't figure it out with Russell Wilson, couldn't figure it out with the whole coaching regime, you know, prior to that, and then come out in your first year. And it looked rocky at first, because I remember the first few games of Bo's career, like, he hadn't thrown a touchdown. And then you end the season with 29 touchdowns and 12 picks and a spot in the playoffs in your first year. Like, shout out to Bo Nix, because I don't think any of us thought that he would be this good a professional this fast.
And our NFC predictions, we'll do this real quickly because we're up against it. NFC championship game, I had Lions over Eagles, still very much alive. Rashad, as I mentioned, Lions over 49ers. And Jordan, Lions over Packers, NFC North. So mine and Jordan's NFC championship game, still alive. And then the Super Bowl, we all have the Lions in it, obviously. I have Ravens over Lions. You as well have Ravens over Lions. I see that you notice whatever Joe's selecting, I should probably do the same thing.
Yes.
You know, that's smart.
Bingo.
And then Jordan with Chiefs over Lions, three-peating this year. You got them winning the Super Bowl yet again. So that is our preseason NFL predictions here in the wild card round. But we need to make some weekly predictions. It is time for Who Do You Love? Rashad, can he bounce back after an 0-3 week?
I don't think he can.
After not sending breaks.
I don't think he can do it.
I gave you some passes this year saying, all right, well, what have you what would you have selected? But I couldn't do it last
all
week.
All winners.
I couldn't do week. It last week.
Yeah.
But we try and predict some NFL playoff games and win some hypothetical dollars next on Who Do You Love right here on Football Sunday on 10 of the Fan. And it's time for a playoff Who Do You Love? Regular season is now over. I took the Chargers winning last week against I don't remember who, but they did cover 6.5.
I'm picking here. The Jaguars this week. I'm just kidding. I've already lost.
The Jaguars to hire a head coach.
No kidding.
Yeah, Chargers beat the Raiders, 34-20 in cover. That was one of my picks. The Mike Evans prop bet of over 100.5 receiving yards got close there near the end, but it did not hit. I think he finished with like 89 or something like that.
The last catch of the game did catch.
It got him his 1,000 yards and all that, but I took the bet when it was, you know, like seconds before kickoff.
Way too late.
Yeah, where it was at 100.5 yards. In DraftKings, so that does not hit. And I took the Jets Dolphins under 39.5, and Aaron Rodgers decided he wanted to have his best game of the year and put up basically that amount of points almost by himself. 32-20, the Jets won that one. So I go 1-2. Rashad, sick boy over there, 0-3, because he did not send any picks.
I can tell you who I picked, though, if you want.
No. I gave that to you earlier this year, and I let you do that.
Tampa Bay over New Orleans.
You're going to give me three winners?
No, I'm just the ones I picked. I picked Detroit over Minnesota.
Yeah, and you picked the exact score for the Packers-Bears, 24-22. Yes. So you nailed those odds. Yeah, I'm sure.
This was locked in. This was locked in.
I thought you guys knew.
And then, Schultzy was here. He did make picks, but it did not go as well either.
I don't think it went any better than Rashad not making picks.
Eagles, Giants, over 36.5. That goes for 33. Valdez, Scantling, anytime touchdown. Did not hit.
No, it did not.
And then the Commanders, Cowboys, over 43.5.
No.
That was 42.
Yeah.
Damn. So that puts Schultzy at 17, 23, and 2. Rashad is at 16, 22, and 1. And I am your regular season champ at 23, 18, and 1. But
no
there
one
is
cares,
still
Joe.
Four rounds of playoffs. Who knows? Maybe someone shows up at halftime with Kendrick Lamar, and Rashad is able to tie me at the very end.
We'll see.
You won it with your ludicrous bet last year, you tied it with the ludicrous bet.
Oh, I can tell you exactly who's coming out with Kendrick.
Schoolboy?
He's going to pop out.
Schoolboy Q?
Nobody that the masses don't know.
Drake.
That would
yeah.
Those odds would be great. They bury the hatchet at the Super Bowl. Like,
how
those odds
great
would
that
great.
Be?
Yeah.
No, they didn't bury the hatchet, but Kendrick just paid Drake, and everybody thinks that they did.
Yeah.
All right. Who do you love? I'll get things started. I know the Sharps are on the Broncos today. I'm going to take the Bills covering the 7.5, though. The Broncos are the sexy pick today. But going to Buffalo, where they are undefeated at home this year against Josh Allen, the Bills. Josh Allen also with 4 wild card wins. So, I mean, the Bills are going to win this game, but I'm going to take them to cover the 7.5. This thing got bet down. I want to say it opened at like 10.5 or 10 points this week. So people taking the Broncos to cover that. But now that it's at 7.5, I'll take the Bills to cover the 7.5 against the Broncos.
I'm taking Baltimore to beat to beat Pittsburgh by 14 at least. No, I don't know. I think I'm going to – I'm looking at this Green Bay and Philadelphia game. I think Philadelphia is better than I think both of you guys kind of feel like Philly is. And I think Green Bay is
– I have Philadelphia in the NFC Championship.
No, but even still, you're kind of like – you look at Philly like, eh, I don't know about that whole Jalen Hurts guy. But I think Philadelphia is one of the better, you know, obviously that run attack is something that the Green Bay Packers have to be very, very cognizant of. Philly is favored by 5.5. I like that, so I'm taking Philly.
Eagles to cover the 5.5?
Yes, sir.
All right.
This is a dangerous pick, but going the first game of the day, Broncos, Bills, the over-under total is 49. I do believe the sharp money is on the over of 49. That is 7 total touchdowns, right? I'm kind of just doing math here. Like, it's not really looking at, like, how good each defense is, but it's just seriously sitting here. All right, each team's going to get, what, 8 possessions, maybe 10? And I don't think that on, yeah, not very snowy day, but on a cold day, there are probably still going to be some things happening, like interceptions or a drop or two that would keep the score maybe a slight bit lower than it normally would be. So I will say under 49 for both of these teams, even though they are good on offense. I hope I'm right.
Under 49. I'm going to take an over-under as well. I'm going to go to that Bucks-Commanders game. That one is in Tampa. It's going to be a balmy 53 degrees in Tampa today.
Woo.
Nighttime. These teams can put up points. Buccaneers, one of the best offenses in the league, as is the Commanders' offense. The total is 51.5. Mm-hmm. I am going to take the over on that of the Bucks Commanders.
Took the words right out of my mouth, Joe. You got two teams that really know how to put up points, that 51.5. It's a big number, but again, both squads know how to put up touchdowns on the board, so I'm also going to take the over.
That's not going to help you close the gap, my friend.
Hey, man, I got to do what I got to do, man. It's not like we have 13 games to choose from today.
Schultzy, pick number 2.
I've kind of been struggling with this one, going back and forth either between like the Eagles covering or a touchdown score prop in this one. I think I'm going to take the risk here, and I'm going to go Saquon Barkley, not just one touchdown, but 2 touchdowns today. This is a little bit of a read.
Oh, my God.
But he's plus 250 for
you
this.
You animal.
I think that they're going to be on the ground a lot, and it's going to be similar to what the Ravens did yesterday against the Steelers. I'm going to say 2 tutties anytime Saquon Barkley today for the Eagles v. the Packers.
Two touchdowns?
I'm seeing plus 250 odds on that, so that's a ballsy pick. You might have to give me like a little bit extra if I win that one.
No, I won't. But Vikings Rams tomorrow.
Dang it, stop doing that. Stop taking all the ones I'm gonna pick.
Hey man, just relax.
I gotta pick something else now.
Because I'm gonna go prop bet. I'm gonna go with the touchdown monster himself, Kyren Williams. Anytime touchdown. I've wanted to bet it a couple times this year. I have not. That dude has what, 14 touchdowns this year? Yeah, 14 rushing touchdowns. And I think if they get near the goal line, they're going to be leaning towards him. So give me a Kyren Williams anytime touchdown. Also, a little bit of note with that Rams-Vikings game. One of the only losses the Vikings had this year against the Rams.
Mm-hmm. One of what, 3?
One of 3.
3 losses they had this year.
That's
so
correct.
I'm taking Minnesota's favorite by 2.5. I'm thinking it's going to be more than that. I think Minnesota is going to be on a, you know, a kind of an FU tour, especially after losing big last week to that, you know, to that Lions team.
Getting embarrassed.
Yeah, they got embarrassed. And I think because they got embarrassed and they're going to be playing in
LA. Sam Darnold, he was like 18 of 41 in that game.
It was pretty bad. Was
they couldn't score in the
red zone.
Easily
Sam Darnold's worst game, you know, as a Viking, you know.
Get rid of him.
Year. Yeah, they got to pack him up. But I think they're going to be really angry and really pissed off after losing in the way they lost last week. And so I think they're going to come out and completely clobber this LA team.
All right. And Schultzy, final pick.
I'm going Commanders to cover today. I think that it's going to be a pretty close contest, Commanders, Buccaneers, but +3. I like that number for Washington. I'm getting it at -115, so it's a little bit more expensive. But I think Jane Daniels going to come out and have a good day.
Yeah, that's a flip a coin game right there.
Kind of.
I just hope it's a fun one. And as I said earlier in the segment, give me some points. Give me some points. That's who you love. We're about to go to hour number two. Broncos-Bills about to kick off over in northern New York. And we will talk about some of these matchups, our college football championship game, the semifinal matchups from this week. We do that all next. Hour number two, Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan.